So if you go to the top of page 7, the essentials of recovery, if you really want to get down nit and gritty, beside the essentials of recovery, right, I'm a loser without them because my log and loser list tells me I'm going back out. But the person I'm working with who has found a way out says, well, there is a way out, but you need certain essentials to do that. So let's take a look at that. Rarely we've seen a person fail, a newcomer fail, who has thoroughly followed our path. Look at that word thoroughly, no half measures. Those newcomers who do not recover are people who will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest. Remember, the liar is strong in a lot of people, you know, and if you're incapable of being honest, man, that's a bad place to be in. And I've worked with some people that are just incapable of being honest and they don't get well. And they're usually men and women that just constitutionally can't get honest with themselves. We thought we could find an easier, softer way. Hey, if anyone here finds an easier, softer way, I hope you would give me a call and let me know because I haven't found it yet. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. And based on your log list, is this your experience? Half measures availed us nothing. Now, this next passage are statistics from the 1940s when they were measuring the efficacy of the 12-step Alcoholics Anonymous program. Of the alcoholics who came to AA in the 1940s and really tried, like no half measures, 50% got sober at once and remained that way. They remained recovered. And 25% more sobered up after some relapses. And there's that 75% recovery rate, just like the Baltimore, Maryland drug study showed in the year 2000. And among the remainder who stayed on in AA showed improvement. Thousands came to a few AA meetings. And at first he said, nah, this isn't for me. Spirituality, God, I don't think so. And they didn't want the program. What they were really saying is I need to go out, burn some more logs, add to my loser list. And that's what they did. They went out, they tried it their way. It was a log. They burned it. They added to their loser list. And what happened? Great numbers of these, 2 out of 3 began to return as time passed. Now, we find that no one, including all of you, need have difficulty with the spirituality of our program. Willingness, honesty, open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery. But these are indispensable, meaning I'm a loser without them. So when we're working with our prospects, what we want to have is an understanding. Now, the first understanding I need to have with the prospect is that they have the essentials of recovery in place. Are they willing? Are you willing to show up and do the work? Yes or no? I know there are 57 willing people here with us right now because you showed up and you're doing the work. That's all willingness does. So the next time you work with a prospect, rather than give them your number, book an appointment with them. You'll get a much higher return on your work with prospects if you book an appointment rather than give them your number. And you can get them. And if they show up, you know, you got a willing prospect. The next thing is honesty. Will you answer questions honestly with a simple yes or no? I've asked a number of yes or no questions. Have you been honest with yourself? Watch out for the yeah, buts and the maybe. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get well? Yeah, but, well, maybe. You know what? You're working with someone who's a waste of time when they're like that. It's either or, either it's a yes or a no. They might say, no, I'm not willing. They're being honest, but we need to work on that willingness component. And the third thing is open-mindedness. Will you lay aside any prejudices, experience the program, and assess the results for yourself? That's all I ask. Just experience the program. You be the judge whether or not it works. A great phrase to describe open-mindedness. You can write this down if you like. When I know I don't know, then I know I'm ready to know. I love that. When I know I don't know, then I know I'm ready to know. That's a good apt description of open-mindedness. Now, that's only half of the equation. You as a prospect also have to have an entire confidence in me as a sponsor. So my job is to explain the approach and try and win your confidence. We realize, hey, Cameron, I'm just like you. You're like me, but you don't do it anymore. I want what you got. That's what we're trying to forge here. Now, there's three things that come into play to win a newcomer's confidence. Number one, we're ex-problematics who have found a solution, who has found a recipe. That's number two. That's the second thing. Who's properly armed with the facts about themselves. That's number three. So they're ex-problematics, they have a solution, and they know what it means to be an addict. Those three things come together, presents a very compelling picture to someone who's untreated, who can't stop, who wants to stop, and they meet you. Can generally win the entire confidence, no half measures, of another addict in a few hours. You want to win their confidence? Sit down with a prospect and do a log and loser list. Share your log and loser list, get them to do one and share it with you. We're fishing. I call it trolling for dickweeds. I love the term dickweed. Online definition of dickweed, a total loser. I always love a good total loser because they seem to be very willing. And so I fish heavy. When I'm in the rooms and I'm looking to carry the message to someone, I'm sharing my log list. I'm sharing my loser list. And they're realizing, man, that guy's just like me, but he's been sober 18 years. How is that possible? And, you know, I never have a shortage of people to work with. I'm winning their confidence in identifying with them based on my log and loser list. Because they identify too. They go, yeah, I've tried that. That didn't work, you know, and so on. And until such an understanding is reached, little or nothing can be accomplished. So, top of page 8, some instructions about sponsorship. That the person who's making the approach, now we make the approach, folks, as sponsors, armed with the facts about ourselves, it's our responsibility to approach the newcomer. They don't know who to work with in the rooms, especially you women. Especially in some of those pros, you watch out for your sisters in the rooms. You know, I remember I worked with a crystal meth addict out of Houston, and she'd call me up crying because when she went to her AA meeting, the guys were hitting on her and groping her. And I'm thinking, where are your sisters? Why are they not looking out for you? So let's look out for our brothers and sisters when they're in the rooms. You see someone signify they're a newcomer or picking up a newcomer chip, you approach them. Hey, have you been here before? Do you have a sponsor? Would you like to learn how to work this program, et cetera, et cetera? You make the approach. Watch out for your brothers and sisters who have had the same difficulty. We share the same log and loser list. That they obviously know what they're talking about. I meet a lot of people that kind of know what they're talking about. And then I've met a lot of people who have no idea what they're talking about. That their whole deportment shouts at the new prospect that they're a person with a real answer. Deportment shouts. Look at the person. Are they walking the talk? Do they walk the talk? I know a lot of people can talk the walk, but they don't necessarily walk the talk. Are they walking the talk? Do they signify to you that this is a person who has recovered and you want what they have? That they have no attitude of holier than thou. We're not saints. I am no saint, folks. Much as I'd like to have you think of me as a saint, I am not a saint. Nor am I going to be a preacher or a crusader or a mission maker. And I don't think any addict appreciates that kind of an approach anyhow. Nothing whatever except a sincere desire to be helpful. My only desire here today is to be helpful. I expect nothing for it. You know, it's just freely given as it was freely given to me. There are no fees to pay. You know, Bill Wilson, when he wrote the Traditions, really understood that there are no fees to pay. You can't mix the spiritual with the material. Big book sponsorship is free, freely given, freely received. No axes to grind, no windy arguments or frothy debates. If your prospect is going to start having a windy argument with you or getting into a frothy debate, what's the one essential already out the window? Probably willingness. and probably honesty, and probably open-mindedness too. And they're back to being a waste of time. No people to please. There's a lot of ass-kissing that goes on in the rooms, a lot of groveling. You know, I hear sponsors telling sponsees to go to meetings in their pajamas to signify willingness. I remember a sponsee called me up and said, you know, would you help me out? I'm so angry at my sponsor. I said, why? And she said, well, my sponsor told me in order to get well, I had to clean his house twice a week. Now, Dr. Bob did say clean house, but I don't think he meant it quite so literally, right? And I hear this stuff, you know, and these sponsors trying to be gods to their prospects. There's no groveling in this relationship. You know, you're not here to kiss my ass, nor am I here to kiss yours. Now, sometimes they're not necessarily newcomers, but I've met people in the rooms where they know about people like us that want to be helpful, but they have no desire to really get well. They're the mooches. They're always bumming cigarettes or a place to flop or a few bucks or what have you. They're always on the take. So we don't want to enable bad behavior either. So there's no ass kissing, no groveling, none of that that goes on in our relationship between sponsor and prospect. And lastly, no lectures to be endured. You know, I see a lot of codependency between sponsor and sponsees. The Care Bear sponsor, oh, I'm going to love you till you love yourself. Hell, my own wife's love, my kids' love wouldn't sober me up. You think some dickweed I barely know in the room is going to get me sober because they say they love me? Like, come on. Or the bullying sponsor. Hey, shut up. Take the cotton out of yours and shove it in your mouth. And you do whatever I tell you to do or I'm going to fire your ass. As if that approach is ever going to work. And it's all codependent manipulation and enabling behavior. That's not what we're here to do. There's no lectures to be endured. You want what I have, I'll give it to you. I remember Mark Houston, who passed away, used to say, when you don't care, I can't. And when you do care, I must. And that's kind of the approach I have when it comes to working with others. I'm not here to lecture you or make sure you do your program or micromanage you or any of that stuff. You don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. But if you want to do it, man, I'll bend over backwards to help. These are the conditions we found most effective. And after such an approach, many take up their beds and walk again. And that's what we all want to do, right? Walk out of here, free people, free individuals, that we can be helpful to others. Now, if you don't want to stop, you don't want to stop drinking, using, or acting out, don't waste your time trying to persuade somebody. Remember, I love this phrase, don't be a spiritual nuisance. You ever met a spiritual nuisance in the room? Constantly telling you, you got to do this, you got to have God, you got to go God this, God that. Oh my God, it can be really off-putting. We don't want to be spiritual nuisances. You don't want to do the program, that's okay. You want to drink, use, or act out some more, go knock yourself out. I'm not here to run your life. I don't want to spoil a later opportunity. What I do say is, hey, if you get into a lot of trouble or you find you need help, you give me a call. I'm right here. I'd be more than pleased to help. And I leave the door open. The more hopeless they feel, the better. I love this line. This isn't working with others. The more hopeless they feel, the better. They'll be more likely to follow your suggestions. That's why I do a log and loser list. I'm really trying to deconstruct who they think they are because it ain't working. So that they realize, oh my God, I am going to drink, use, or act out again. And that's going to put me on a losing streak to the gates of insanity or death. I want them at that bottom line so that they'll be more likely to follow the suggestions that we're offering and I can show them a way out. We in our turn sought the same escape, sought the same recipe with the desperation of a drowning person, of a loser, the desperation of a loser. Again, desperation, no half measures. Based on your loser list, are you desperate? Ideally, that's a yes. Now, if you've decided you want what we have, what do we have? We have recovery. Do you want that? Yes or no? And are willing to go to any length, no half measures to get it. Hopefully, that's a yes. Then you're ready to take certain steps. So ask the newcomer, do they want to quit for good? Not just one day at a time, but do you want to quit for good? And if that's a yes, would they go to any extreme, no half measures, to do so? Now, the old timers used to ask this question, and the only answer they wanted to hear was, I'm willing to do anything. I'm not a big fan of that answer because it puts the sponsor in a tremendous position of power. And that's not necessarily a good thing because it can open things up for an abusive codependent relationship. So I thought, what does any extreme look like? So when I was doing these workshops, bricks and mortar, I would always ask the audience, what does any length look like to you? And I'd heard different answers. And then one person said to me, well, based on what you're telling us, Cameron, any length means to follow the instructions in the big book, to follow the recipe. And I thought, what a brilliant answer. So, and as I state right here, are you willing to thoroughly follow the instructions in the big book? Nothing more, nothing less. And hopefully that's a yes. And if they say yes, then their attention should be drawn to you as a person who has recovered. This is where we share with the newcomer what our life is like today. I'm going to do it very briefly with you. As a result of being shown out of this program, I drank and used morning, noon, and night from the age of 20 to 46. I'm 64, soon to be 65. I have done more in the last 18 years than I did in my first 46. In my 18 years of sobriety, I rebuilt a destroyed marriage. My wife and I are celebrating 32 years of marriage this year. My daughter, who's 35, we were estranged because I was violent as an alcoholic addict. She was here earlier tonight. She made this beautiful beef soup. Oh, my God, with this garlic, horseradish, sour cream sauce to go with it. Oh, my God, it was so good. And I have a really nice relationship with her. And I see her every Thursday for dinner. And we play cards and watch movies together and so forth. My son, who's 37, he has an 11-year-old autistic boy. So for me to be sober, to help him out with those difficulties and challenges, and that's a gift the 12-step program gives me day in and day out. My liver went back to normal. I had liver disease coming in the program. My liver returned to normal after 6 years. I went back to school in my 50s, graduated top of my class in medical anthropology and religions. And I've traveled all over the world speaking in groups like this when we were traveling. I've been to Spain, Sweden, England, all across America, Canada. And it's a stellar life being a recovered member of a fellowship. It's such a great life to lead. And this is what the program has given me over the last 18 years. So when therefore we were approached by other big book sponsors with whom the problem had been solved, who had recovered, there was nothing left for us to do but pick up the spiritual kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. Are you now ready to pick up your simple kit of spiritual tools? And hopefully that's a yes.